Welcome to Profiles in Rock. Doug Pringle's guest this week is British recording superstar Kate Bush.
Music is absolutely the priority for me, and that I must always keep that priority.
Kate Bush left school at 16 and immediately began her recording career. Barely 23 years old with platinum records worldwide, Kate's star is only beginning to shine.
Is there a special thing about the recording of the first album?
Yes, I think there would be with anyone who was recording their first album, and if they'd been waiting for it for years, which I had, that was the one thing I wanted to do. It meant everything. To record an album was just like, God, you know, oh, yeah. And to actually be doing it was fantastic. It was incredible. It was actually happening. It wasn't someone saying it would be happening. It was actually happening.
Because that first album was so mature, had such a strong sense of identity that usually one's first album doesn't. So you'd really attribute that to the fact that you didn't wait until you were ready.
Well, I think I'd attribute that to the fact that I'd written so many songs by the time my first album came, which is a situation that will probably never happen again unless I don't record an album with a gap of 5 years in between it. I had like 5-6 years bulk of songs, you know, over 200, I thought. And so we just had a massive list to choose from. And so I think when you've got such a big list and you're choosing the best, you're going to get much better quality. I do feel that the second album suffered just a little because of me not having enough time in between to really write and produce new stuff and really sort out the old stuff.
How did you react to the, quote, sudden success? It must have come as a bit of a surprise, at least.
Yeah, so it was an incredible surprise. You know, you think, well, I'd like it to get in the charts, and it gets in the charts, and you think, great, it's in the charts. And next week it's still in the charts and it's going up. And I mean, the last thing I thought was, no, I left it, you know, top five. Top five, you know, and each time you think, my God, it's just not going to do it. And in fact, the morning it got there, someone I hadn't met for a couple of years rang me up and said, congratulations. And I didn't understand what he was talking about. And he said, oh, we're on number one. And I just went, wow!
Story behind Wuthering Heights.
Which Wuthering Heights? Because
your Wuthering Heights.
My Wuthering
yes.
Heights. Well, that was based around the story Wuthering Heights, which was written by Emily Bronte. And really, what sparked that off was a TV thing I saw as a young child. I just walked into the room and caught the end of this program. And I'm sure one of the reasons it stuck so heavily in my mind was because of the spirit of Kathy. And as a child, I was called Kathy. It later changed to Kate. It was just a matter of exaggerating all my bad areas because she's a really vile person. She's just so headstrong and passionate and crazy, you know. And it was fun to do, and it took a night and a half.
What kind of importance do you attach to the video of the song? It seems to me it's becoming more and more one and the same thing almost. It's almost a part of that initial original creation.
Yes, it is getting closer, but I haven't actually managed that yet, the point where I'm actually writing the song, I can see it all. And I think the reason is because when I write the song, although I'm visualising it, it's quite a different thing because it's so real. Like if I'm writing a song about another person, I'll really try to become that person, so I'd be totally different. And when you create the videos, you tend to use a more theatrical approach rather than the real thing. So maybe that's one reason. But they are getting closer. I find it gets easier with most of them to create the visual ideas. Sometimes it's harder. It really does depend on the song, because the song lays down every key move and who you are, what you wear, what colour the set is, you know. It's really the song dictates it all. And I think a great deal of my stimulus now comes from visuals, television. I'm one of the television generation, you know, where a television was in my house from... I can't remember when there wasn't one here. And I was always in front of the television instead of doing my homework. I wasn't off reading books, I was watching television. And cinema, that's still a very big treat for me to go and see a film. So all the stimulus comes washing in and I pack it away at the back. And it will come out maybe a couple of years later.
What's your most successful video to date, in your opinion?
From an artistic point of view, definitely Army Dreamers. That's the closest that I've got to a little bit of film. And it was very pleasing for me to watch the ideas I'd thought of actually working beautifully, watching it on the screen. It really was a treat, that one. I think that's the first time ever with anything I've done I can actually sit back and say, I like that. That's the only thing. Everything else I can sit there and go, oh, look at that, that's out of place. And, so I'm very pleased with that one. I just...
Do you enjoy being famous?
I don't think I enjoy being famous. You see, famous is one of those words, isn't it? It's so creative, because I think artists shouldn't be made famous. You know, they're just as important as doctors and priests. You know, maybe not as important sometimes. And yet they have this huge aura of almost godlike quality about them.
Yeah.
Just because their craft makes a lot of money. But at the same time, it is false importance, you know, football stars and... theatre stars. It is man-made. It's so the press can feed.
But do you enjoy it? When you go out and people recognise you and they're doing, do you enjoy that?
No. Sometimes it's a buzz. Being honest, sometimes it really is a buzz. But a lot of the time, it embarrasses me. It makes me feel awkward with the people I'm with because they get embarrassed. But it's something I'm learning to accept. They're just saying hello in their own way. I know a lot of people enjoy it. They really like giving autographs and everything. And I think it's very important. If ever anyone asks you for your autograph, you must give it to them. Because, you know, I think of myself when I was a kid and I saw stars and, oh, God, I really want their autograph. And I'd go up and say, hello. And I'd be so shy. And I'd nearly die and I couldn't even get the words out. So it is a matter of respect to give that to them because, you know, even if they've never even liked your music and they recognise you, you know, it's a gesture that I think is nice to give.
How important are material things to you, and do you enjoy having money?
I think I've just started enjoying money, actually, like really recently. It's something I've not been aware of either, really, because the money is something that you don't see. You just know it, that it's there because you've earned it. What it's good for is being able to channel it back into what you're using it for so that you can do things better. You can afford to do more things in your show. You can have great videos. You can make good albums. You know, you need money for all these things. I don't think a lot of people don't realise how much the artist will sometimes put financially into what they're doing. And often they think it's the company that's paying for everything. And in a lot of cases, it's not. It's the artist's personal money that's going into it. And that's what I like to do. I like to put it into machines, equipment, tours, albums. So it's working in a big sort of recycling thing where what it's earning is then helping it to become better. And that's how I like to think of money being used. It's very useful. But I'd like to think that I don't depend on it. A lot of things I do, like an album. Without money, I wouldn't be able to record an album, but I would still be able to write the songs again. But, you know, there is something great about making an album.
Is there one material thing above all others that you don't have right now that you would like to have?
No, nothing material. No.
Is there anything else, spiritual or otherwise, that you don't have?
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a completely different area. That's huge. You see, the material is so superficial, yeah. And it really doesn't matter any. What it's good for is comfort, and it can help you sort of get things done quicker, that sort of thing. The other side is the real side. That's the real riches of your life. And I've got a long, long way to go there. I mean, spiritually, as a person, and a lot of things in my behaviour pattern that I would love to change so that I can feel. Very personal things that I don't know whether you could even put a label on them. Little behaviour things that I know I do that are stopping me from doing more things, like maybe a certain kind of laziness I have about certain things. I think, if I could make the effort again in these little areas, I could be getting more. Things like that. Yes.
How would you define happiness?
Happiness, I think it's being able to accept all the things you don't like. Because that's the problem, you see. I think happiness is something that people think, oh, I wish I was happy. But in order to be happy, you have to be prepared to accept a lot of things. And if you can do that, then you can be happy anywhere. And sometimes it's a big problem, you know, because often we don't like things.
Do you ever get depressed?
Yeah, I do. About different things too, it really depends. Sometimes I feel I have no purpose at all, and that what I'm doing is of no use, and that, you know, what's the point? You know, who am I? Why am I here? Oh, you know, and then you realise that, you know, what's the point of doing that? Because you've got to stay alive, and the whole point of staying alive is trying to get better and to keep doing things because you're alive, and just being alive is it.
What's been the greatest moment in your life to date, either personal or professional?
I suppose one of the greatest moments was the tour, because a feeling of being so involved with that many people, huge team of people that were working together, and nowhere along the line were they fighting against each other. That was really unique and very special. But a moment, you see, a moment is such a passing thing. And in a way, I'd say that my greatest moments have been the last 3 years. I just haven't looked back.
And what's been the lowest point in your life?
In my life? The worst moments when I've lost people that have meant something to me. When people have died. They're definitely the worst moments. It's probably just the selfish feelings of why you miss a person. You want them to be with you again. You want to experience them more, and they're not there. Because probably where they've gone, they're really having a good time. If you want to look at it in one way, it is your purpose. The reason you're here is to live and die at the end of it. And so death, in a way, should be looked on as the greatest thing that's ever going to happen to you.
How do you see the decade of the 80s?
I think a lot is going to happen, a lot that hasn't happened for maybe 30, 40 years. There's so much building up. And looking at the music business, especially the end of this year, I've never known so many top acts bringing out albums, you know, all of them. And it seemed reflective of how bad a year we'd had. It's almost like all that really bad, negative energy has made all the creative people go, right, I'm going to channel it and write it down. And it helps, because if you've got lots of really good music to listen to, then it helps you too. You know, you listen to it and think, yeah, I can channel it too. So it's all up to us this 10 years. It really is. It's up to all the human beings alive to do what they can, isn't it? So.